Good morning. This is Joni, and it is Monday before Thanksgiving, and I'm excited to have a wonderful guest for most of the hour. I will introduce him in a moment, but I'll just also say at the very end of the hour, we're going to be talking about the We Ain't Buying It campaign with Reverend Patty at 10:45. So make sure to stay tuned with us for the hour. And I am delighted to introduce Dr. Neil Barnard, physician with the founder of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, also a founder of the Barnard Medical Center. And he is a very important physician who has a history with us on WPFW. We haven't had him on for a while. I think Dr. Watkins had him on maybe last year or the year before. I used to have him on frequently, and we're delighted to have him on for many reasons, including the fact that this is, of course, Thanksgiving week, and the issue of food and what we are eating is very important always, including on Thanksgiving week. Dr. Barnard is going to talk a little bit about health and healing with food, the benefits of a plant-based diet, and how to revolutionize your health, and much, much more. So with that said, welcome, Dr. Barnard.
Great to be back with you. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, likewise. And again, we used to have Dr. Barnard. It's been too long, but we're happy to have him on today. First, tell us, Dr. Barnard, what is the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine?
I went to medical school here in Washington at the George Washington University, and when I completed my training, I started working in a major hospital, and I found myself thinking that we do a really good job with diagnosis and often with treatment, but we weren't really doing much of anything to prevent illness. In other words, all the signs might be there that a person might be headed for a heart attack, but there wasn't a lot we were doing about it until the person came into the emergency room in big trouble, or let's say a woman has breast cancer. We weren't really taking steps to reduce the risk until it showed up on a mammogram. And I thought we need to tackle those things. And in addition to that, I was a bit concerned that we weren't doing enough research on how we could actually change things in human beings. There was a lot of rat experiments and mouse experiments and things like that. And I thought, let's zero in a little bit more on human biology and see what we can do to change things. So I started the Physicians Committee back in 1985. And as you mentioned, we're very busy in research and so forth, but we also do have a medical center right here in Washington called the Barnard Medical Center, which is a nonprofit clinic, but people come in for all kinds of issues. And we tackle those issues, of course, whatever it may be, but we also help people with the nutrition side of things, which for many people is really the key.
Absolutely. And before we jump into some more of the details, I remember you have a very interesting childhood and early life. Share a little bit with our audience.
Well, I guess the thing about it, that I was doing exactly the opposite of everything I'm doing. I grew up in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And North Dakota is cattle country. And my dad grew up in the cattle business, and my grandfather did, everybody. That was the business. I have to say I'm grateful to my father for deciding to leave that business, but we still ate like we were raising cattle. It wasn't until I was working in a hospital before I went to medical school that I started to connect the foods that my family had produced with the serious consequences that it had. Meat contributes to cardiovascular disease and certain cancers and diabetes and all kinds of problems. But I have to confess, I was quite clueless about that as a young man.
But you certainly are not clueless about that now. And as I'm talking to Dr. Barnard, I'm remembering that all the different times we spent. It's a long time ago now, but we invited him to speak with some of the staff at the D.C. Health Department. It was quite a big audience there, and he talked about the benefits of a plant-based diet. So I'm glad to be reunited with this wonderful doctor. So let's start with a little more about the benefits of a plant-based diet. Of course, we're coming up to Thanksgiving, which we know what people will be eating, a lot of turkeys and other things that are not plant-based. But just give our listeners, and you can often hear this discussion, of course, at 2 p.m. with Dr. Watkins. But tell us a little bit about Dr. Bernard, briefly, the benefits of a plant-based diet. And what is a plant-based diet?
Sure. Well, there are a few things that really come to the fore. One is just weight gain. When people have gained weight and they're trying to get rid of it, that's a key thing. The second thing that comes along with it is type 2 diabetes. We did not realize that we have the power to improve and sometimes even reverse type 2 diabetes. We didn't realize that was possible until we started making maybe our diets a little bit more powerfully designed. Then cardiovascular disease, I'm talking about having a heart attack, is another issue. And the final one might be Alzheimer's disease, where we are now seeing inklings that we can, through diet changes, reduce our risk there. So back on diabetes, if you don't mind me starting there. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, Joni, when I was in medical school, we thought diabetes was a one-way street. If you had diabetes, you were always going to have it. You were... Our whole goal was to reduce the complications, but we discovered something vitally important. We figured out where this disease comes from. And where it does not come from is drinking a soda or eating carbohydrate. Those things are kind of on people's minds, but that's not the issue. The issue is that, let's say I eat a hamburger or fried chicken or something like that, or a hunk of cheese. Particles of fat from the foods that you eat, you're not aware of it, but those fat particles get into your bloodstream and they go into your liver cells. They go into your muscle cells. So the little fat particles are building up inside the cells. And as they do that, they stop insulin from being able to do its job. Insulin is a hormone. It attaches to the surface of those cells to let sugar out of the blood into the cell. And that's a great thing, because sugar is your fuel. It's what gives the cell energy. But if the fat from my chicken wings or whatever it is I ate, burger, ribs, you name it, if the fat is building up inside the cell, the insulin doesn't work and the sugar can't get in. At that point, almost anything you eat is going to elevate your blood sugar, and you're going to get your diagnosis with diabetes, and the doctor starts you on metformin, then adds other drugs, and then talks to you about starting insulin, da-da-da-da-da. Stop. What we have done is decided, let's get that accumulated fat out of the cell. And if we can do that, then maybe this disease might improve or maybe go away. So what we have done in our research studies is we bring in people and we say, how am I going to get all the fat out of your cell, or as much as possible? If I stop, if I take the animal fat out of your diet, let's say we're going to be vegetarian, vegan for right now. For the next 4 months, we're going to do a vegan diet. And we keep oily foods, fried stuff, really low too. What we discovered is that we can remove about a third of the liver fat within that period of time, and much of the muscle fat too. And that's when we see diabetes improving and improving and improving, people needing less medicine, and in some cases, this disease going away, because we are tackling the cause. When we saw our first patients cured of diabetes, this was more than 20 years ago now, it was earth-shattering to think that this disease we have just put up with could be reversed for some people. And it was extremely controversial at the time. But of course now, I mean, we see it all the time. And so people accept that you can put this disease in remission. And that is our goal with every single patient that we see, to have them come in and let's improve it as much as we can. And it has not only rejuvenated our patients, I mean, they're thrilled that they now have power they didn't have, but it's also rejuvenated our doctors. At Barnard Medical Center, doctors join us because they've been working somewhere else and they've been doing a lot of medication and that kind of thing, and they haven't felt they had as many tools as they wanted. So we still use medications if we need them. We'll still do procedures. We'll do whatever we need. But we also work with patients to help use their dietary tools to reverse their disease to the extent they can. And it is so exciting.
Their dietary tools. What? Explain what you mean by that.
What I mean is if I could go into each cell and scoop out that fat that's been accumulating over the years, I want to do it. But I don't have a little microscopic shovel to get into each liver cell and do it. My tools are beans and grains and vegetables and fruits. Take, for example, let's say it's Thanksgiving. Look at that Thanksgiving table. Look at the sweet potatoes. Oh, wow. Let me put that on my plate first. That's delicious. Okay. If it is a sweet potato the way Mother Nature handed it to us, it doesn't have much of any fat in it. And if I bake it up until it's crispy and beautiful, it still doesn't have much fat. And if I eat one of those for my Thanksgiving, that helps the fat come out of my cells. There's stuffing there. Let's say I made that stuffing without a lot of butter and grease, and I put in sage and other spices and things like that, other herbs, and I put in a little bit of onions and made it really, really tasty, but there's not much fat in it. Let's say I put that on my plate. That's going to work for me too, because there's not much fat. The fat comes out of my cells, the green vegetables and so forth. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to say, well, give me that turkey leg, that big greasy turkey leg. I take a bite in it. Uh-oh. Things are going the opposite way. The fat is coming out of that turkey leg, going down my esophagus, getting into my cells, making my diabetes worse. Wait a minute. Let me go back to my yams. Let me go back to my... Let me go back to the green vegetables. Let me go back to the cornbread. Oh, can I make cornbread low fat? I sure can. So that's our goal, is to help our patients to turn their foods into medicinal tools that keep all the taste, but do more than that, that make them really work for that patient's body.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be speaking with Dr. Neil Barnard, a physician, founder of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and as he's sharing, also founder of the Barnard Medical Center right here in Washington, D.C. We're thrilled to be talking with you on this particular week of Thanksgiving, but actually any time is also great. Let's talk a little bit. Of course, diabetes is a very significant topic when it comes to food, but there are other problems that people may have, even people who may not be overweight. I actually know some skinny people who have issues, for example, high blood pressure or constipation. Constipation is something that can be very dangerous. Talk to us about, for example, how constipation may relate to diet.
Sure. I'll tell you, you put your finger on something that really is an issue. And if you don't believe it, just go to any drugstore and look at the size of the aisle that sells medicines for constipation. They've got one product after another, after another, after another, because people need these things. If you look at what's on the label of many of these products, and in many cases, it's psyllium fiber. I'm talking about something like Metamucil or something like that. And what is fiber? Fiber is something that they took from a plant and they put it in the bottle and sold it to you. And if we look at the foods on our plates, they, in many cases, used to have fiber, but it got taken out. I'm talking about, let's say it's whole grain bread, which came from wheat, and the fiber is taken out to turn into white bread. Or maybe a person didn't eat the bread at all because they're trying to avoid those kinds of foods, and so they're eating meat or dairy. Meat and dairy don't have fiber either. Fiber is just plant roughage. There's a huge amount of it in the foods that our grandparents used to eat. I'm talking about beans. You know, our grandparents knew about beans, but kids today may not know a bean if they saw it. But you have lots of it in beans. Next up is the whole vegetable group, very high in fiber. Fruits, very much so as well. And whole grains, like brown rice as opposed to white rice, or whole grain bread as opposed to white bread. They've got a lot of it. Animal products, they're not plants, so they don't have any fiber at all. So most cases of constipation can be cured really quite rapidly by bringing in the plant-based foods in a big way. The second thing, we do see in children a peculiar phenomenon where very often kids have constipation due to dairy. They're consuming cow's milk products, and at that young age, they may not get the side effects that an older person might get when the lactose intolerance becomes more evident, but they sometimes get this constipation, and it can persist for years. Kids do really, really well.
Wow. And of course, well, I certainly know firsthand, if someone is in the hospital or in a situation where they're having some challenges with their health and they get constipated, typically the hospital will give them perhaps some medication, but they won't give them some fruits or vegetables. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. In some cases, the constipation can result from the diet that the person was on before they arrived at the hospital. That's what I've been talking about so far. If we have an animal-rich diet, a meat-rich diet, the fiber is just not there, and so you see constipation. But the other thing is sometimes in the hospital, if a person is recovering from surgery, the constipation can be caused by narcotic medications. So you're hurting from the surgery, they give you a Demerol or OxyContin or something like that. And the constipation can be heroic because it's just stopping the musculature of the digestive tract from moving things along. And so what we're encouraging people to do is to minimize the use of those medications because the constipation often comes along with it.
So what would it be like in the hospital or another facility if somebody was suffering from constipation? What food would you suggest they eat, or what food would you recommend to the hospital that they be given?
Well, the high fiber foods really in order. The whole bean group is at the top of the list. That's beans, peas, lentils. Not everybody tolerates them very well, but most people do. And if they're returned to the diet, drink some water along with it, because the whole idea is that fiber is going to hold some water and really soften up the intestinal contents so they move much more easily. After the bean group, the vegetable group is right there, and that can be green vegetables like broccoli, kale, collards, romaine, you name it. Or it can be orange vegetables like sweet potatoes and carrots and those kinds of things. The next up is the fruit group. And fruits can be used as a snack, as a dessert, or even as your whole meal. The berries are particularly good. I'm thinking about blueberries and strawberries and so forth, but the whole fruit group is fine as well. And the final group is whole grains. And bringing those in is important too. Now, it takes a little time for those to work their way down your digestive tract, but it's going to be your best insurance about constipation going forward.
This is very, very important information for folks. And of course, one thing that some of us have long wanted is really a revolution in the hospital system throughout the country. I've been spending a lot of time lately in the hospitals, unfortunately. And you know, it still shocks me that the lack of simple vegetables and fruits that are given to people in the hospital, in all kinds of hospitals. So that's another task that we wish you could take on, Dr. Barnard, is to just improve the food that is given to people when they're sick in the hospital.
Well, let me say a word of praise for the Medical Society of the District of Columbia. MSDC is an organization that pulls together the doctors in the district and unites their voice. And several years ago, the Medical Society of DC went to the AMA and said, let's work together to speak with one voice to address exactly the issue that you just raised.
Wow.
So that hospitals ought to be serving healthy food, and specifically plant-based foods, to the patients, to the visitors, and to their own staff. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you something. The AMA said, okay, we're going to adopt that as the AMA policy, and they did. And they added one more thing. They said, you know, if you go into just about any hospital and look at the breakfast offerings in the cafeteria, they've got sausage or bacon or something like that. And those are processed meats that are linked to colorectal cancer. to breast cancer, to cardiovascular disease, and other things, even like lung diseases, are related to these processed meats. Again, processed meat, that's bacon, sausage, ham, the pepperoni slices on your pizza. The AMA said those should never be served in any hospital. Because, and why is that? It's because when the patient is in the hospital for 3 or 4 days and they're saying, can I get some bacon? And they say, no, we don't serve that. It becomes a teachable moment. Why don't you serve bacon here? Because it's linked to colorectal cancer. And the patient says, wait a minute. My great aunt had that disease. You're telling me that food could cause that. It's a teachable moment. In the same way as we got cigarettes out of our hospitals back a generation ago. Which I was glad about, because when I was a medical student, I have to confess, I used to go into GW Hospital and buy my menthol cigarettes and smoke them on the way to the doctor. Yes, I did. And we weren't stupid. We knew that it caused cancer, but we figured, all right, well, I'm under too much stress right now. I'll quit later. Well, later arrived. And so we threw the cigarettes out. Why? Because, you know, you're not going to get lung cancer from being in the hospital 2 days if they allow you to smoke. But you need that teachable moment. And so the AMA says you must serve plant-based meals in the hospital and you must kick out the processed meats. And that is AMA policy. And I want to thank the Medical Society for bringing that forward and the AMA for agreeing.
Wow, I didn't know that. And I must say they still have a little ways to go, but it's good to hear this.
they do have a ways to go. So unless somebody's in the hospital you're not seeing those changes there, whichever hospital it may be here in the D.C. area or anywhere else, have a word and say, are you not aware that the AMA has called you out? You know, I'm looking for my plant-based lunch because I heard this doctor on WPFW who said a plant-based lunch is going to help my diabetes. Where is it? Have a word, because they want to keep their patients and their visitors and their own staff happy and healthy.
Wow, that's very good to know. And of course, we still have a ways to go with rehab facilities, nursing homes, et cetera. But I'm very glad to hear this news. We talked about, of course, diabetes. We talked about constipation, high blood pressure. The other thing, though, is also a problem if you're not eating correctly with people who have diarrhea. And as you mentioned, constipation can be extremely serious if it's not treated correctly. But talk to us about the opposite extreme, some of the problems if you're not eating correctly with diarrhea.
For a lot of folks, what their digestive issues do relate to what they're consuming. One of the big issues that we have really worked with our government to recognize is lactose intolerance. Lactose is the sugar in dairy products. And many people are familiar with lactose intolerance. You drink a glass of milk, and a few hours later, you are in the bathroom with serious cramping and gas and diarrhea and that kind of thing. This is not everybody has it, but the majority of African Americans do have it, and the majority of people worldwide have lactose intolerance. Let me be clear, it's not a disease. It is normal because the lactose sugar that comes from dairy was Mother Nature never thought that we would be drinking milk. You get mother's milk from your mother's breast, but after weaning, you're not going to drink any kind of milk. At least that was Mother Nature's idea. Mother Nature didn't realize we'd figure out how to make a cow stand still and take her milk and drink it lifelong. So we don't have the enzymes to digest it. The majority of whites have developed, they have an enzyme thanks to a mutation that causes the enzyme lactase to persist longer. Everybody has it in infancy pretty much, but in whites it lasts longer. In everyone else it goes away much faster. But lactose intolerance is a normal condition. It just means to avoid milk. for many people, that's a really good thing. And frankly, nobody needs milk at all. You get plenty of calcium from green vegetables and so forth. Number two, though, we talked about fiber. High fiber foods as being helpful to move things along. They not only help in constipation, but they also help when people have the opposite, when they've got too much diarrhea, because it sort of keeps things moving at the right pace, not too fast, not too slow. So again, that means bringing in the beans, vegetables, fruits, bring in the whole grains as well.
Yes, and talk a little bit about something like rice. I know Dr. Watkins has had a program where he recommends the rice diet, which is using mostly black rice, brown rice, to really help balance your system. I've done that. It's very helpful. So, of course, it's not appropriate to eat only vegetables, but you need to have and only fruits, but to mix in other things such as rice. So can you talk about that a little bit, Dr. Barnum?
Many people have had tremendous success with that. Rice is, it's got carbohydrate in it, but it has a surprising amount of protein as well, and it's got fiber. The brown rice has that little tan coating, and that's where the fiber is. When they remove that to make it white, much of that fiber is lost. So white rice is not terrible. It's still a useful food, but the brown rice delivers you the fiber, and we encourage people to stick with that. One cooking tip for people who have had trouble making brown rice, because if it turns out a little mushy, my trick is take some brown rice, wash it under your sink, and then drain it thoroughly so you now have this sort of damp rice. Put it in your pan with no water, just the rice in there alone, and turn the heat up and stir it dry. You'll smell a little aroma like it's toasting a little bit, which is actually what's happening. And just stir it dry on high heat. And then once it's all dry, which takes about a minute or 2 minutes, then you put your water in and you boil it for whatever it is, half hour, 40 minutes, until it's nice and soft at that point. And it is the most delicious, crisp brown rice you have ever had. You can put some soy sauce on top or some sesame seeds or something like that, and you're going to love it. And it will help your digestive tract. One other tip I would have is avoid fatty foods. If you're having digestive issues, fatty foods, when the fat, I'm talking about meats, oily, greasy foods, anything that's got a lot of fat, the fat touches the intestinal wall and can sometimes cause it to alter the normal peristaltic movements. The body doesn't do well with a lot of fat trying to go down the intestinal tract. When you take that out, your digestion works better.
Wow, such important information. We are thrilled to be speaking for another 15 minutes this morning with Dr. Neil Barnard, physician, founder of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He's also a professor right here at GW University, founder of the Barnard Medical Center, which we'll talk about a little more before he leaves us today. But one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that Dr. Barnard is an author. And I used to have, Dr. Barnard, all your books very handy to me. Recently, I had to move. I put a lot of your books in storage. But tell us about your books. I think you have a new book that I haven't gotten yet.
Oh, well, thank you for asking about that. Whenever I write a book, it's because it's a tool that can be used to put something new to work. And my most recent book is called The Power Foods Diet. And I want to tip my hat to researchers at Harvard. They showed a number of years ago that if you eat more of certain specific foods, people would lose weight. And the idea was that if you ate more of this food or that food, you would lose more weight. And at first, it was totally counterintuitive because you'd think eating more would have to cause weight gain. With specific foods, that was not the case because these were foods that would either ramp up the metabolism or ramp down the appetite. And the foods that turned out to work were berries, blueberries, strawberries, the whole berry group. Secondly, cruciferous vegetables like broccoli or cauliflower or Brussels sprouts. And then green vegetables in general, whether it could be spinach or asparagus or you name it. Melon, it could be watermelon, it could be cantaloupe, any kind of melon. Citrus fruits as well. and then the bean group, including soy products. All of these, that what they found in studies over many years, the more people included them in their routine, the more weight they lost. So I got excited about it, and I worked with Dustin Harder, who is a brilliant recipe developer, and Lindsay Nixon, who is also a brilliant recipe developer, and we made the most wonderful foods that come from these and many other very simple ingredients. Everything's plant-based. Everything's really healthy. We tested them out. The recipes were great. And we made this book called The Power Foods Diet to help people to lose weight without restricting, without saying, I've got to eat a tiny portion or I've got to go out and run a mile today or something like that. The whole idea is use the foods that take the weight off naturally. We've had a tremendous experience with it. And I have to say the book itself is beautiful. It's called The Power Foods Diet, and it has beautiful food pictures and lots of recipes and a description of how to make this work in your life. And people have been using it to lose quite a lot of weight. You will read about people in the book who have lost 100 pounds or more after really struggling for many years. Now, if you don't have 100 pounds to lose, then you can aim to lose whatever it is you want to lose. If you need to lose 30 pounds, 40, 50 pounds, as many people do.
And let me just interrupt you for a second. You were listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is To Heal DC with Joni, and we're talking this morning again to Dr. Neil Barnard. And Dr. Barnard, let me ask you, suppose you don't have to lose weight, but perhaps you may have to gain weight. Would the messages in this book, and give us again the title of the book, would that still be appropriate for people who perhaps need to gain some weight?
It's called The Power Foods Diet. Power Foods Diet means that there are power foods, foods that ramp up your metabolism or that tackle your appetite. So that's where the title Power Foods Diet came from. There are people who do need to gain weight. I have to say they are, they're a little on the thin side. I have to say they are the envy of all their friends who are busily struggling with trying to get rid of weight. If a person says, I want to gain weight, I would suggest first checking your body mass index. Your body mass index is a number that helps you to decide based on your height and your weight if you're in the healthy range. The reason we need that is that there are sometimes well-meaning family members who say, you need to gain some weight, when in fact you're already at a good weight. And you don't need to gain weight. Sometimes our family advice isn't so helpful. So go online, look up BMI calculator. That's body mass index calculator. Go to BMI calculator and you put in your height and your weight. And if the number comes out between 18.5 and 25, then your weight is in the healthy range. If you're below 18.5, then you are generally thin. Genuinely thin. To regain weight after illness or something like that, you typically don't need special foods. We encourage people to eat normal amounts of healthy foods. Again, grains and beans and vegetables and fruits. There are people who will sometimes emphasize high protein plant foods, which could be tofu and tempeh. And those are good foods. They're perfectly fine. And including them is a good idea. We don't encourage people to bring in the animal products because that's going to end up leading to cholesterol issues and blood pressure issues.
So if you are underweight, eating those animal foods is still not good.
We wouldn't do that. Now, if a person says, well, maybe I should have foods that have a little fat in them, but healthier types, like nuts. So almonds or walnuts or something like that, or seeds or an avocado. For a person who's trying to lose weight, those fatty foods are going to get in the way because they've got a lot of calories. For a person who's trying to gain weight, nuts and seeds and things like avocados can be okay.
Yes. And again, Dr. Barnard is an author. He's written many books. I know one book, Reversing Diabetes. I used to have quite a number of your books right on the shelf. So I encourage people to check out Dr. Barnard's books that he's written over the many years. And I want to make sure we get this in before you leave us. Tell us a little bit more about the Barnard Medical Center, which is right here in D.C. On Wisconsin Avenue. Tell us how you might be different from other health clinics or health places.
Sure. Thank you for asking. The Barnard Medical Center started out 10 years ago. And it's a regular primary care clinic, so a person can come there because they have a cough or a urinary tract infection, or they just want a physical or whatever. We do all of that. And Jim Loomis and Vinita Rahman, and Christine's our nurse practitioner. Shannon is our registered dietitian. The doctors, our nurse practitioner and our registered dietitian are happy to help people. We're not just going to deal with the medical issue. What we're also going to deal with is to help people to take home sort of a nutrition prescription, so to speak. So if a person comes in with diabetes and they need a renewal on their insulin, we'll provide that. But we will also work with you to see if we can reduce that amount of insulin or maybe get you off of it if you get to the point of not needing it. And that means working with you to improve your diet. And it is life-changing for people. So our website is barnardmedical.org. Barnardmedical.org. That's B-A-R-N-A-R-D, barnardmedical.org. And the number, if people want to just call for information, it's here in the district, area code 202-527-7500. That's 202-527-7500. And we're on Wisconsin Avenue, right by the Friendship Heights metro stop. And we're to see people. We're a nonprofit, and our goal here is to make the world healthier.
Right. Your goal is not to make a whole lot of money. I mean, to rip people off, I'll say, is, you really care about people and the patients you're serving. I know you do a lot of research. Do you ever have situations where someone comes in with a different kind of challenge, perhaps related to food or related to weight, that's different? Is your center able to really sometimes focus in and do some extra work research on what may be causing the problem or what could help that person?
Yes. By the way, you mentioned financial issues in medicine, and I have been concerned about this for quite a long time, that it's very that I really think financial issues have been a big challenge in all respects. I do not take any salary at all, not from the medical or anyone else. I'm a full-time volunteer and have been for many years. I know that not everybody's in a position to do that. But
and I believe you also take Medicaid.
Yes, we do. We take Medicaid patients, Medicare patients as well. I mean, anybody can walk through the door, and we're happy to work with you. We're trying to do our best to be a good model for how medicine should be practiced. But you asked about more unusual conditions that you wouldn't think maybe would relate to food. One of the ones that came up years ago was hot flashes. When women are going through menopause, very often they'll be quite uncomfortable, that you'll be giving a speech or you're with friends or something like that, and you suddenly it's 200 degrees and the heat comes up from your chest and so forth, and those are hot flashes. And what we have found is that with a diet change, we recently did a study in 84 women. Well, we found that with three things, a plant-based diet, low in fat, adding a half a cup of soybeans every day, we could knock out 88% of hot flashes.
Which is wow. Just
1 month. But and also the average woman lost about 8 pounds in 12 weeks. They found it revolutionary. And so we're glad to help people with that. For younger women who are dealing with menstrual pain, that's another condition where diet often plays a big role. And a person might think, wait a minute, how would a plant-based diet have anything to do with these conditions, which are obviously hormonal conditions? Foods that you eat affect your hormones. For a young woman with cramps, we want to sort of tamp down the hormone roller coaster. And we do that with high fiber foods and lower fat foods. And we have published our research on these. We did a study more than 20 years ago with Georgetown University's Department of OBGYN to prove that it works. And our study on menopause was published back in 2022 in the North American Medical North American Menopause Society's journal Menopause. So it works, it's real, it's proven, but people need a little bit of guidance to make it work in their life. And that's why the Barnard Medical Center also offers classes to help people to put this to work.
Oh, wow. Classes. We're running out of time. I want to make sure you give us some advice for Thanksgiving. But just one last question about the Barnard Medical Center. What about seniors, older people who may be having perhaps trouble eating and really might need to gain weight or have some particular problems? Do you also support that kind of a patient?
Sure, of course. I mean, that's a very, very common condition. Sometimes when you're a little bit older, you might have less appetite. Sometimes people are not moving around very much. They're not exercising the way they did when they were younger. And if you're not exercising at all, your appetite slacks off as well. So the question is, how can we get good nutrition in? How can we ramp up activity in a good way? Can we pay attention to foods that can improve cognition to the extent that that's possible? These are really important things. These are things we have all seen in our lives, and we have to be able to use every tool at our disposal. If we need medication, let's use it. If medication has limits, let's look at what else there might be. Let's also use the power of foods and not neglect that. But there's a lot of nonsense in this space as well. So we want to make sure that what we are doing is proven and is reputable, and that it'll really work for the patient.
Absolutely. We have about 3 minutes left with you. Give us perhaps 1 minute or so on your advice for Thanksgiving on Thursday or throughout the rest of the holidays. And also save room for your sharing the information of how people can get in touch with you and your work.
Sure. For the holidays, it's really a good thing to remember. This is the winter when we're kind of overeating anyway because of the cold temperatures. It sort of makes that inner squirrel within us that's kind of wants to stuff our cheeks with nuts and gain weight for the winter. That kind of gets activated. We're overeating anyway in the holiday. Table is overfilled. Eat the healthy sides. You don't need that turkey gravy, and frankly, you don't need the turkey anyway. Turkey, the number reduced now has dropped about 40% over the last several decades. They think, you know, that's really not my favorite food anyway. I really come for the stuffing. If you're going to, as a guest to somebody else's house, bring something. Bring your favorite stew or a chili or something like that. Contribute to the table and make it something healthy because all the other people are going to appreciate that too. Our contact information, it's barnardmedical.org. And the phone number is 202-527-7500. That's 202-527-7500. Barnard Medical. It's B-A-R-N-A-R-D, barnardmedical.org.
Absolutely. And also the physicians for Committee for Responsible Medicine. Some people would be interested in that as well. I think you can easily find that online. Very, very important work. We are proud and thankful to have had you on this Monday before Thanksgiving, Dr. Barnard, and we hope to have you on again. Thank you for all the work you do on behalf of wellness for the people.
Right back at you. Thank you so much, Julie.
Okay, take care. Okay, we're going to move very quickly now to our final wonderful guest, and that is Reverend Patty Fears. She's part of the D.C. Boycott Target Coalition. She's a pastor at Fellowship Baptist Church right here in Washington, D.C., and I'm thrilled to have her on for at least a few minutes. She's going to be talking to us about the We Ain't Buying It campaign and what is happening on Saturday. And a little more, too. So stay tuned. Welcome, Reverend Patty.
Hello. Thank you so much, Joni. I so appreciate you having me on your show.
Yes, likewise. I wish we had a whole another hour with you.
No, I appreciated what I heard prior to. We have to preparation all the way around.
Yes, thank you. So let's first of all talk about what is happening on Saturday, the We Ain't Buying It campaign. What is happening at 11 o'clock Saturday morning?
11 o'clock on Saturday morning, the DC Boycott Target Committee, a campaign group that has been functioning for the last 36, almost 40 weeks, are going to come together with the national group, which consists of like Tamika Mallory, Senator Nina Turner, and Jamal Bryant. And we are going to have a picket line in front of the Target at 3114 Street, Northwest Washington. We are bringing a number of coalitions that have been walking alongside of us. We're all going to come together to let the people know that our dignity cannot be bought for a dollar.
And before you continue on, tell us, of people who may not know who those three national activists are coming, tell us who they are.
Okay, Tamika Mallory, she has her own group that has been coming together for a while. And Senator Nina Turner, who's out of Cleveland, Ohio, she's a state senator there, and Reverend Jamal Bryant, from Atlanta, Georgia, and is known. He kicked us off early on with the Target Fast. So these are affectionately called the Mothership. They are the ones that have the national exposure to this event. Washington took a charge and decided that we were going to actually just bring it out in public. We appreciated the Target Fast. It was behind the scenes. We weren't quite sure what was going to happen. But Washington being Washington and us being who we are, decided we were just going to go ahead and speak truth to power and stand in front of the stores and let them know that we are here to make a difference. And the national team, the Mothership, was so impressed with the consistency of what we were doing that they have decided to come alongside of us on an, even this local level for them to bring the message across and use what we have been doing as a backdrop to make sure that this campaign and the administration and all of those that are about oppression of our citizens know that we are standing together.
Absolutely. And of course, the We Ain't Buying It campaigns focuses on three entities. Tell us what those three are.
The three entities are Home Depot, who has done an egregious job of allowing ICE to come in and pick up our immigrant brothers and sisters. Target, as you know, who was the first to roll back their DEI initiatives and has done everything but admit that we are gaining amazing ground with them. And Amazon, who is becoming a monopoly and manipulating the administration to allow our tax dollars to become tax gains for them and opportunities to grow their business. And so,
and also Amazon treats their workers terribly.
Absolutely. So. And as a matter of fact, I'm replacing them with some automation.
Right.
In our pockets, in our area, over 9 different ways. So there are ways that we could get out.
So the campaign, We Ain't Buying a campaign, is urging people to boycott those three stores from this Thursday until Monday. And of course, could be beyond that as well. Tell us the Target there is in Columbia Heights. It's right near the Metro. That's how I know it. I think you probably, for people who need the address.
Okay. It's 3114 Street. It's right at the Mount Pleasant, in between Irving and Park Road. We're going to be out there strong. Our national leaders are going to be with us. Our local clergy, who have been really instrumental with this group, and a number of organizations that are going to come join us. We'll be out there starting at 11 o'clock. And trust me, for the Target boycott specifically, we are out there every Saturday at 11.
Yes, for at least the past 6 months or so. And speaking about local clergy, we want to give a big shout out to our own Reverend Graylin Hagler. and normally he used to be on talking about this all the time, but we had a very special event for him on Friday to celebrate Reverend Graylin Hagler, who's been out there in the streets, out there in the community, right here in D.C. for decades. So, and Reverend Patty was actually the MC for that event. tell us a little bit about what a wonderful event it was.
I could tell you it would be almost an embarrassment to try to compress all of Reverend Hagler's accomplishments into a short period of time, even on Friday, but to see all of the people come out and give the flowers, give the honor, give the tribute to a man who has made a difference in this community specifically and around the country, reminding people that no matter how you worship or where you worship or if you don't worship at all, that there are people that are out there making a difference. And one thing that I love about Reverend Hagler is he always does it with compassion and love, and he got that love back on Friday. It was an amazing event. Yeah, and
yes,
we really have to thank Andy Shalal at Bus Boys and Poets for opening up the doors to host that event. Ayanna Gregory for singing, and Elise Bryan and Lucy Murphy, who were amazing. I mean, you could just go on. If there are people that are making a difference in the community and has some impact, they were in that room, and they were there to honor, to celebrate, and to just give flowers to Reverend Hagler.
Right, and that was only a small portion of the people who loved Reverend Hagler.
Oh, absolutely.
We could fill up a whole huge coliseum with the people who appreciate Reverend Hagler, and we will continue to do so. We're just almost out of time. Let me just say that again, you're speaking to Reverend Patty. You can meet her this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Target right there at, I'm sorry, Columbia Heights. Mm-hmm. It'll probably go to, I'm guessing, at least 1 p.m. For more information, I think you can go to weaintbuyingit.com. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, Reverend Patty, and we want to wish, of course, everybody a positive Thanksgiving. We know that, of course, Thanksgiving is centered often around food. We also know that at this time, there are a lot of people who don't have enough food to eat, perhaps not any food to eat. So we're thankful for the work that communities are doing right here in D.C. to help make sure people do have food to eat. If you listen to PFW, you will hear some of those events taking place throughout our community. Reverend Patty, I don't know if you know any off the top of your head, but we will certainly be promoting that and sharing that on WPFW. And we also want to remember people who may be having a hard time separately from food right now. They may be having a health challenge. They may have lost a loved one or have a loved one who is sick. They may be concerned about this horrific genocide taking place not only in Gaza, but in other places in around the world. So we may not feel that we have everything to be thankful about, but of course, we still want to be thankful for the small important things that we have, including our friends and our radio station, WPFW. That's definitely something,
yes,
something you can be thankful about this Thanksgiving. And with that said, I want to thank Katia, our engineer for this morning. And we're going to go out with a special song by Mavis Staples. Stay tuned for Mark Thompson, We Make It Plain, and of course, Dr. Theodore Watkins at 2 p.m. for To Your Health and the rest of WPFW. We love you. Be well.
In jail, had no money for to go their bail. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on,
hold on,
hold on,
hold on.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Paul and Silas began to shout. Doors popped open and all walked out. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Well, the only chains we can stand are the chains of hand in hand. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. My hand on the freedom plow. Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on.
This is Lawrence Ham, Chairman of the People's Organization for Progress. I invite you to join the Free Mumia Movement and allies on our long walk for justice for Mumia Abu-Jamal and for the dignity and medical needs of the incarcerated. We are walking 103 miles from Germantown, Philadelphia, to the State Correctional Institution in Frackville, starting November 28th, and arriving 12 days later at SCI Mahanoy. We demand an end to elder abuse, an end to systematic medical neglect, freedom for all political prisoners, and we march to demand freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal now. Marchformumia.org for details. Again, that's marchformumia.org.
With love. Not fear.
This is a special invitation, a call for entries to We the 92%, an anthology of Black women's documenting this time. Your essays, poetry, prayers of resistance, open letters, and more, preserving our voices, our truths, and our testimony in a time when our history is being rewritten, challenged, and erased, are being accepted. Submission deadline is midnight, December 20th. Details at wethe92.com.
Thursday, November 28th, WPFW honors the National Day of Mourning, commemorates the birthday of Jimi Hendrix, and offers music centering gratitude from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. Bushmeat opens the day with a birthday tribute to Jimi Hendrix. At noon, WPFW takes you once again live to the annual United American Indians of New England rally in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. Finally, James Funk offers music filled with gratitude from 3 until 7 p.m. That's all here on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.